Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Travis, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Yeah, hey, everybody. Thanks for having me on. I'm Travis Newstep. I'm the CEO of Vesla Copper. We sell copper water bottles and other related products. And I have a couple other businesses as well. I'm into real estate development and Airbnb rentals. And I also work at the Port of Virginia. Transitioning out of that right now and to, you know, self-employment and run my businesses full time. So yeah, thanks awesome. For having me on, guys.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, let's just talk more about the copper business. So I'm curious, like, if you can just tell me just more about that, like what exactly it is you do there and how you got into it.
Yeah. So these are 100% within a percentage of 100% pure copper water bottle, solid copper all the way through. And the reason that's cool is because copper is antimicrobial. So I was working long hours at my day job and at the Port of Virginia. Sometimes I'd work overnight and have to work the next day. I'd sleep in my car for 4 or 5 hours and then get up and work again. And I noticed that the next morning, my traditional water bottles, like I had a stainless steel one with a plastic top, and it got funky. Like the next morning, if I didn't wash it, it would be funky. Like, and I wouldn't even want to drink out of it. And I'd have to go and find a sink, which at my job, this huge, the Port of Virginia, you know, it's actually, you got to kind of take, you got to go out of your way to find a sink and wash it out with soap and then refill it with water. It's a process. So anyway, I was at an Indian restaurant and they were serving water out of copper pitchers, and then they had copper bottles for sale. So I talked to the waiter and I really liked the experience and the water tasted good. So a bottle, and I started using it on my job and I loved it because I noticed it would stay fresh and clean, that there was no funky smell ever. I could use it for 3 or 4 days in a row and it wouldn't grow any bacteria. So I researched it, found out copper's antimicrobial. That's because of the oligodynamic effect, where small, like trace amounts of copper, like we're talking parts per billion here, very small amounts of copper actually dissolve into the water in the process of ionization. And that is what provides the antimicrobial properties. The scientific term is the oligodynamic effect. So I started researching it and then stumbled onto some other cool stuff. But yeah, that was the genesis story right there.
Awesome. So in a copper bottle, is it able to keep like the substance cold, or like what does that look like?
No. So it's interesting now because we're in summertime and it's hot and everybody wants the water to be cold. Whereas, you know, most of the year it's not as big of a deal, but you know, it was 96 degrees here the other day. So I want my bottles cold too. The copper doesn't insulate. In fact, it is the opposite. And that is, you know, if you're going to be out and about for hours without a cooler or a refrigerator nearby, you know, maybe you should take your other water bottle because they don't insulate very well. But what I do is I have, you know, one for each of my family members, and you know, when we go out, and we just put them in the cooler on ice. And the cool thing about copper is it actually chills water extremely quickly because copper has a high thermal conductivity. So you just have to look at it differently. You know, you can put it in the fridge. I like to keep mine in the fridge in the summertime. And then the cool thing about it is when you grab your regular water bottle, you don't feel the coldness, but when you grab this, you feel the coldness, and you can put it on your neck and you can, you know, put it against your skin. And that adds a whole nother refreshing element to your hydration experience. So like, you just have to look at it a little differently. We've been conditioned to kind of think that the best and only way is these double walled, you know, vacuum sealed, insulated stainless steel bottles. They're great. Don't get me wrong. I still use them sometimes, but like, if I'm going to have a cooler, I slide a few of these babies in there. And when I pull it out, it's like my little, you know, I'm like cuddling with it. I'm like, if I'm super hot, I cuddle with it a little bit, you know, and it really, really helps. My wife brings it into the sauna. I bring them into hot yoga. We have a yoga studio that our friends own. And, you know, there's a big connection there because in India, they've been using copper vessels for thousands of years. And a big part of the population has been using them for hundreds of years. But it's actually recommended in Ayurveda, which is the ancient holistic medicinal tradition in India comes from the same place as yoga. It comes from the Vedic texts. So in Ayurveda, they recommend drinking out of a copper water bottle. It's known in Sanskrit language, I think, as Tamrajal. I think it's Sanskrit. And so that's kind of where this whole thing originated from. And so they have a long tradition. It's a sacred tradition in India and some other places. And that's basically where this all started, I believe, at least like in the masses, because I know they were using copper vessels in like Egypt and stuff as well. They had copper plumbing in Egypt. So anyway, it's been going on for a long time.
100%.
We've just kind of lost focus of it. So
yeah, definitely. So, you know, in terms of growing this business, right, what are you doing specifically? Like, are you more direct to consumer focus, retail focus, you know, food service, like businesses? Like, what is your strategy right now in terms of how to get this to mass market?
That's a great question. I have so many plans, but since I'm still running some other businesses and I'll have this other job, I haven't been able to implement them all at once. So the core of our business right now is direct to consumer online sales. You know, we have a Shopify store. We run Facebook ads. And then we also have an affiliate program. So those things are working great for us. However, there's definitely a big demand for wholesale channels. I just don't have the inventory to be able to do both of those at the same time right now. But as we scale and we buy more inventory, then we're going to start doing wholesale as well. I mean, we do have a couple wholesale people. We have the yoga studio. They sell the water bottles there. There's a water store, I think, out in he's in Arizona or something, and he stocks the bottles. And we've had some corporate clients where we, you know, put their logo on there. And this lady who does horse shows, she ordered 125 bottles, and I got her logo put on three different designs and shipped them out to her. And so there's definitely a big market there. I want to start like calling yoga studios and calling some of these other people and actually setting up these, you know, recurring wholesale channels. So that's, we're going to roll that out as we scale. I've just started, I've gone from ordering 3,000 bottles at a time to 6,000 recently. So I'll get the first shipment of 6,000 in maybe 6 weeks or 5 weeks or so. So that's going to open up some doors there. And then the goal is to get to 10,000 and 20,000 orders at a time by the end of the year with, you know, the last quarter is going to be our busiest. So we should be able to do that.
Awesome. So I'm just curious, right? Because you mentioned that you're running ads that have been very successful. So when you are running these ads, like, who are you targeting? Who's like an ideal customer for your water bottle? I mean, obviously anybody can be like an ideal customer, but like, who are you really targeting in those ads?
Yeah, the main target demographic is health conscious people. And there's a couple of different aspects to that. There are people that are, you know, concerned with germs, which, you know, that's a good fit there, obviously. So those people. And then there's also the people who don't want to wash their water bottle as much, like parents. For instance, you know, we have three kids, my wife and I, and we had four or five water bottles every day, and we were washing them every night or every other night. And, you know, it actually takes like 10 minutes every day and doesn't seem like a lot. If you don't have kids, do you have kids, Dan?
No, I don't.
Yeah. So like when, you know, when you get kids, especially have a few of them, you know, if you can get 5-10 minutes back in your evening, that is a huge win. Right. So with these, we only clean them every like once a week, maybe 2 weeks. Now that I've kind of figured out what I can do to keep the tarnish down. And basically, you know, have you seen copper, it like turns green, you know, like the Statue of Liberty turns green. So the exterior of the bottle is covered in a food grade lacquer. So that won't ever patina. That's not going to tarnish. It'll stay shiny like that forever, you know, unless you scrape it off with whatever. But the inside for the health benefits is pure copper. So that will tarnish. Basically, what happens is it starts to turn, there's black spots. And if you don't clean it, those black spots will turn into green spots. And once it turns green, especially, it can affect the taste and the performance as far as the antimicrobial performance and other aspects of the performance that I'll get into. But so we clean them every week or two. So it is less cleaning, which is another market. And then the other one is like, we're just starting to tap into people who are like outdoorsmen and they're in the woods for a few days at a time. And maybe they want to, you could like put a little cloth over here and just get water from a stream, let it sit for 8 hours and it'll be neutralized of bacteria. So then there's those guys who are like, you know, if I bring one of these, I don't have to bring like six bottles of water. I can bring one or two, and then every night I'll fill this up in the river or whatever, and then in the morning it'll be clean. So there's that aspect. We haven't really marketed to them, but there definitely is that demographic we're gonna try to crack open. And then like preppers, like that same kind of thing. Hey, if there's no clean water and we can't buy filters anymore, I mean, yeah, I got water filters. I got a great Berkey. I like spring water the best. Spring water is by far the best. I get it delivered in glass. But during COVID, they stopped delivering spring water to me, and so I use my Berkey filter. But then, if stuff really hit the fan, are we gonna be able to buy these filters online anymore? Probably not. So like, this is something that will always clean water. It'll always clean water.
Hey y'all, it's Dan Melnick, the CEO of Zing, and I wanted to share a special offer for all of our listeners. Right now, if you need software development services, we'll give you 2 weeks of a free trial. Do you need to update your website? You want to build a mobile app? Do you want to update something that you've been working on for a long time? We've worked in a high-level technology like AI, machine learning, blockchain. So shoot me a text, 817-874-2208. Thank you.
In terms of your business, right, how do you measure lifetime value? Like, do you have other products that you sell to customers, or how does it work? Or do people typically like come back and buy more? Like, what does that look like for you?
That's a good question. We haven't really been able to measure that so much yet because we're still kind of new. Last year was our first year. We started in the end of March, so it wasn't even a full year. And then this year, so we've only been really selling products for a year and a half now, or not even a year. And some we do get some return business, but it's normally, they drop their bottle too many times, or they want to buy one for a friend. It's normally a gift, or they'll come back and they want to buy it for the rest of their family. And the other thing is, as we scale, we're focusing on just like one product, water bottles. So we're not really focused on converting that business back in, again. But as we bring in new products, we're growing our email list, we're growing our SMS list. We also use SMS marketing. We have Recart synced in with our Shopify store, and also synced in with Klaviyo, which is an email provider, or like it's an email, what do you call it? Like a service
Platform.
platform. There you go. And so we're collecting all the emails and the phone numbers. And so as when we come out with a next product, which might be a water dispenser, something bigger, then we'll shoot that email out and it's going to be free marketing. So at that point, we'll probably focus more on calculating the lifetime value of a customer. And but the acquisition right now, we do have those numbers. And last I looked, it was like $16 on Facebook, which isn't great. So that's why I want to start expanding these other channels.
How much do
But
you sell like the bottle for?
we sell one bottle that's this size, is 32 ounces, is $40,
Okay.
$39.99. But the average order value is between $50 and $60. So
Okay.
when we're doing good, it's around $60. Right now, we're sold out of three of our products, like half of our stuff. So it's down now. But when we have everything in stock and we're pumping and everything's moving well, it's closer to 60. So I mean, the margins are still comfortable.
Right.
I'm at $16 acquisition costs. We buy the bottles for about $7.50, and then we pay another $2.50 to ship them, and that's including the packaging and everything. So we're about, with shipping and packaging and everything, we're about $10 into each product.
Right.
So 10 plus 16 is 26. So there's still a margin there, but then obviously there's other expenses. I got fees and stuff every month. So, but we're doing enough volume to where those margins make sense right now. So it's good. We've been profitable, but we're just kind of pouring all the profits back into ordering more inventory. Or is it, well, not all of them, but a lot of the profits are going back into just trying to scale. So
Makes
that's why
sense.
I'm still working the other job.
Right,
And
right. So, like, obviously nowadays, many companies are using high-level technology like AI in their business. So, do you currently use AI? And if not, we're going to give you some more value in 2024.
But I've looked at doing AI stuff, especially like running the Facebook ads. And I mean, I've definitely used ChatGPT to get a format or a starting place for some of my copy on emails or product pages and stuff like that when I was doing my website. But we haven't dove too much into AI yet. But I know that a lot of people are running ads with AI and having success with that. So that's one thing that we have, talked to some people about. But I have a good marketing company that an agency that we work with, and they do our Facebook ads and our recart with SMS marketing, and they also kind of mentor me, which is great. You know, well, not a lot of people talk about that, but just like anything in life, having a mentor that's done what you're trying to do is so valuable, and it's underrated. So many people go out there and they just watch YouTube videos. Well, you can learn anything on YouTube. Yeah, but it's way better to have a person that has been successful doing it teach you and mentor you. So that's also what they do with the marketing agency. So I like that a lot. So I don't, you know, the AI wouldn't do that. There's all these like, you know, things that you don't think about that come up and you're like, well, what do I do here? And I didn't even think about this. And it might not even, a lot of times it's not online. You try to search what to do here. You know, Shopify and a lot of these other online platforms, they don't have customer service on the telephone. You know, you got to go and it's all chat or email. And sometimes that takes a long time. So it's a lot easier just to pick up the phone and be like, hey, did you run into this before? What do I do here? In a couple minutes, you have an answer and you can go to the right place. And, you know, it just saves time and headache. So we don't want to break off with our marketing agency. So
No,
that's
100%. Yeah. So,
something.
what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this business?
That's a good question. I'm gonna have to think that one out for a second. It's a lot of work. You know, there's a lot of people out. I mean, it's easy to get the idea that like starting an e-commerce business and having an e-commerce business is like automated, like passive income. And you can get it automated to a certain extent, but that takes a long time. And you shouldn't just do it quickly because you really need to understand the ins and outs of fulfillment, warehouse procedures of Shopify and using Shopify. If that's your platform or whatever platforms you're on, you need to know how to use all those because you're going to have to train people how to use them if you want to automate it. You know, like a lot of stuff you can do, you know, automatically with just AI and software and stuff, but there's limits there. You know, as advanced as we are, AI doesn't have good personal customer service skills, right? Like, I would never put AI in charge of doing customer service right now. So I have to train somebody to do customer service. And to do customer service, they need to know how to use the Shopify platform inside and out because they might need to create an order or refund an order or what have you. And it's very user friendly, but it's also something that it's very complex. There's a lot going on there. And then you have on all of these apps, we have a review app. You need to learn how to, you know how to do that. So anyways, there's a lot of work that goes into managing and owning a company like this. It's not, you need to
Sure.
budget your time to really work for solid 2, 3 years, I'd say, before you start really automating a lot of it.
100%. So, speaking of time, we're just at about time here. So, if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website, social media handles, best ways to get in contact?
Yeah, Instagram and Facebook, just Vesla Copper, like Tesla, but with a V, Vesla Copper. And I'm pretty good about getting back. I'm actually managing the comments and the messengers during the day, and then I have somebody doing it at night. So if you want to talk to me, message during the day or email, I handle all the emails. So that would be travis@veslacopper.com. And, you know, go on our website. It's www.veslacopper.com. So there's a lot of stuff on there, some videos and information. Update that from time to time. So,
Awesome. Well, Travis, thank you so much for your time today.
yeah, sure, man. Thanks for having me. I'd love to come back and do it anytime and, you know, do a longer version if you want. Just very passionate about this subject. And I like what you guys are doing and what you provide and bring to the table. So,
Thank you, Travis. Appreciate that.
yeah.
All right. Thanks. All right. Bye.
Thanks, Dan.